Amen? Amen. Well, Jimmy's on vacation, and when Jimmy goes on vacation, he decides to take about half of the church with him. But hopefully he's having a nice, relaxing time. Thank you, those who came up and sang. I know it's not easy to do those things, but so thank you for that. Let me tell you a quick story that has nothing to do with my message this morning, but there's some of you who know what has happened on Friday. So Friday, Jimmy left. Of course, when Jimmy leaves, it seems like everything has to go wrong. But, so we're doing something good. We're getting the AC put in on the other side. That's a blessing for sure. We didn't get quite done yet, but we'll get it done, hopefully before Jimmy gets back. But I went out to lunch. I had my wallet. I purchased my McDonald's, and I came back. I had my wallet in my hand. I took it up to my desk, and all of a sudden, I get to the end of the day. It's about 6 o'clock, and I'm talking with Jeremy, and I'm about to leave, and I'm touching my pockets. Oh, I got my phone, got my keys. I don't have my wallet. So about a 2.5 hour journey of me searching for my wallet that I did not find. And then I have to do all the things you do when you lose a wallet, because I'm like, well, I might have dropped it on outside. And so I got all my cards canceled, and I had to call Scott to see about canceling the church card and the ministry card, and I ordered a new license. And it must have been weighing on my wife's brain to, like, I'm going to come in the morning and search again. Well, where we found it was probably the least likely spot we would have thought it would have been. It was in the dumpster. So I did find it, and I didn't actually get the church and ministry card canceled, so I'm glad we didn't have to go through that whole process. So I'm glad I found it, but I was like, oh no, here we go. Here we go. But I found it. That's what matters, I found it. I love that song we just sang. Is it not true, church? Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, who has saved my life. Thank you, Jesus, he saved my life. Thank you, Jesus, he brought me from darkness into glorious light. Jesus paid it all for you and I. He shed his blood for you and I, that we might have the forgiveness of sins. Oh, church, we should be so thankful in this house, knowing that we're going to have a place in heaven. Amen, church? Amen. Know that you're saved in Jesus Christ. Know that you're loved in Jesus Christ. He loved you so much, he died for you. Amen, church? He loved you so much, he shed his blood for you. He loved you so much to pull you out of your sinful life. He loved you so much to forgive your sins as far as the east is from the west. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for his almighty name. Praise his name for how loving and awesome that he is. Amen, church. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. That's where we're going to be this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17. But let me read a verse to you in Psalms 27. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Amen, church. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? If you have Jesus Christ, you have no reason to be afraid. If you have Jesus Christ, if you have the Lord, you have no one to fear. You don't have to fear this world. You don't have to fear death any longer, because you've been freed of all those things. Jesus Christ paid it all for your life. And you don't have to be afraid of this life, because you have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. But only through Jesus Christ. This is something David understood, that it is only through the Lord that he has salvation. Only through the Lord you have a stronghold in your life. Only through the Lord, Jesus Christ, do you have life. Amen, church? Are you a testimony to that this morning? Only through Jesus Christ, he's given us life. Life everlasting, an abundant life. A glorious life. Listen to me, church. We need champions of Christ. That's what this message is going to be all about this morning. We need champions of Jesus Christ. Champions of Christ in this world. But they're to be strong and courageous. To stand up. To be bold in Jesus Christ. To have faith in Jesus Christ. But there are many believers today that are afraid. I'll just sit on the sidelines. Rather than stepping into battle, as a champion ought to step into battle, we'll watch somebody else do it. We'll step on the sidelines. We're afraid of the world. We're afraid of the world, what the world might say if you actually said, "Oh, I believe in Jesus Christ." You're afraid of what the world might say if you say, "I believe in the Word of God." Don't be afraid of the world. Or we are living like the world. It's hard to be a champion of Christ if you're living in the world. It's hard to be a champion of Christ when you have sin in your life. It's hard to be a champion of Christ when you're looking like a champion of the world. Listen to that very closely, church, because it's important when we go through this message, is am I living like a champion of Christ? So let me ask you today, church, are you a champion for the Lord? Do you want to be a champion for the Lord? 1 Samuel 17, very familiar story to a lot of us. I hope it is. It's David and Goliath. The awesome story of David and Goliath. Let me give you a little bit of context before we start going through chapter 17. But David was just a little shepherd boy that God anoints to be king. God takes his spirit away from the king Saul, and he gives it to King David, a little boy, a shepherd boy, the lowest of his family. And because of God's awesome hand, he makes David, because Saul was struggling and he'd have an evil spirit around him, David would come and play music for him. So every now and then, David would come to the palace and he would play music for Saul anytime that Saul needed him to play. And now they're about to go to war with the Philistines. And there's a giant named Goliath. Many of us know this giant. This giant is huge. He's 9 feet tall, at least. He's 9 feet tall. And all of a sudden, Goliath steps forward from the battle line and he says, "Who's going to come before me? Is your king going to come before me? Is no one going to come before me?" And he's hurling insults. "We can settle this right now. You versus me." That'd be a pretty scary sight. 9 foot giant. I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. Somebody else can do it. I can imagine that. But Jesse sends David to go give supplies to his brothers that are going out for battle. He's got 3 brothers that are going out for battle. David is sent with supplies, some cheese, all that stuff that you need for battle, food, all those different types of things. He sends supplies to his brother, starting in verse 20. This is where we pick up. "Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of the shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left the things with the keeper of the supplies, ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. As he was walking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever Israel saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear." Listen to me, the battle is coming closer. It's a pretty scary sight. The battle is coming closer, and this big old giant named Goliath is hurling insults as he keeps doing for 40 days over and over and over again, hurling insult after insult. And David hears all of this. He's hearing all the insults, and he's also seeing the Israelites being terrified of this giant. What does it say? It says, whenever the Israelites saw the man, they fled from him. They ran from him. They were scared of him. They were afraid. And listen to me, many times the world hurls insults at Christians, at believers every day, and believers are just backing down and running away. We're fleeing. We're being afraid. Oh, they might laugh at me. They might mock me. They might say a lot of insults about me. We ought not to be afraid of the world. We ought not to be afraid of some insults. We ought not to be afraid of even death. I hope I reminded you this morning that we ought not to fear death. We don't have to fear death anymore because of our everlasting life. They run away. They keep going. They're afraid. And we often run away just as these Israelites do. Verse 25 says, "Now the Israelites have been saying, 'Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel.' David asked the man standing near him, 'What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is the uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God?'" Many of you are right now saying, "Sign me up. I'll go fight this giant. What does the king offer? He says, I'll exempt you and your families from all the taxes of the kingdom. You don't have to pay taxes. There's many of you, I can already see, Bob, are you saying, sign me up. I'll go fight that giant. I'll go fight that giant. Ain't got to pay no taxes. But you can see the fear on the Israelites here. They refer to him as this man. This man. But you also see the courage of David. What does David say here? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David understood that there was no match for the living God. There was no match for God. There was no match. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Even though he's 9 feet tall, even though he's a giant, even though he's huge, even though he's all prepped for battle, all those things, David says, who is this man to defy the living God? There's no one who's able to beat the Lord. Saul should have had the courage. The king should have had the courage to fight the giant. But something important to understand is Saul no longer had the Spirit of the Lord. Ever since Saul lost the Spirit, he was afraid. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Amen, church. We have the Holy Spirit. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We don't have to be afraid, but here we see Saul's afraid. He's willing to do whatever it takes to get somebody else, not me. I'm not going. I'm the king. I'm not going. To get somebody else to go for him. I'll give him my daughter. I'll give him no taxes in the land. All those different things, that great wealth, all those things. Somebody's got to do it. I'm too afraid. And we often do that, don't we, church? Somebody else will go do it. It's too big. God, ask somebody else to do it. It's too big. It's too big. I'm afraid. I'm scared. It's too big. Have somebody else do it. David spoke of this giant in a much different way than the Israelites. He already knew that the battle had already been won. Amen, church. He already knew those things. Verse 28 says, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now what have I done, said David. Can I even speak? He even turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And then the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. See, David's brother is upset. It's important to understand the whole story and the whole context. Who was the first person Samuel looks at to be anointed as the new king? Eliab, the oldest brother. The brother, Samuel was like, oh, he looks good. That's got to be the one. Nope, wasn't the one. They will go down the line, and who's the one? Little shepherd boy David, out, not even in the house. Brother might be a little jealous. Amen, church. The brother might be a little jealous that David's come down to the battle. He's upset. And many of us know, I think probably many of us know, that even sometimes the closest people can discourage us from doing the will of God. I've had that so many times in my own life. Family either laugh at me for having faith in God, mock me for having faith in God, or even the believer. I have family who are believers who think I'm leading people away from God. All because of doing the will of God. Many of you have family that's tried to push you away from the Lord. Push you away from doing the will of God. But a champion of God, a champion of Christ, has persistence. You see David's persistence here. He says, what have I done, said David. Can't I even speak? And what does he say? He turned away to someone else. He's not going to let that person deter him from doing what God wants him to do. And I hope you're the same way. A champion of Christ has persistence. They have persistence in the will of God, but they also have persistence in prayer. David was a man after God's own heart. He had persistence in prayer. He always was talking to God. He was always talking with God. Sometimes the Lord wants us to keep praying for something. Sometimes the Lord wants us to keep going with something, to make sure our heart is really in it, to make sure we're really committed, we really have faith that the Lord's going to see us through. Sometimes you got to pray for something over and over and over again. Sometimes the closest people in our lives can stop us from living for Christ. Some of your brothers and sisters, some of your moms and your dads have stopped you from doing what you were supposed to do. Some of them have led you astray. I've seen my cousins and my second cousins and all those whose moms and dads have walked them into addiction, have walked them into death. What a sad thing to happen. A champion of Christ has persistence. They keep going no matter the persecution, no matter the opposition. Verse 32 says, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man and have been a warrior from his and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." Amen, church. I hope this is your attitude this morning. I hope you understand that because the Lord has done it before, he'll do it again. Amen, church. Because the Lord can do it, he'll do it again. He is strong enough, he is mighty enough to do the things he's done. The God of the Bible is still the same God today. If he can defeat the giant today, he can defeat the giant in your life. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. You can almost see the disappointment on Saul's face when David's like, "Let no one lose heart. I'll go and fight him." You think that? I'm sure at that moment, when Saul sent for this man, he was probably hoping, "Oh yeah, one of my mighty warriors in my army, one of my strong men." And then David walks through, this young boy just walks in, and you can almost see the disappointment look on Saul's face. "Oh well, this one's not going to work. This one's not going to work." What does he say? He says, "You're not able to go against the Philistine. You can't do it. You can't fight him. You're only a young man. That giant has had years and years of battle experience. You can't do it. You're too little. You're not strong enough. You're not mighty enough." But what does David say? What does David say? He says, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried the sheep off the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth." But it's important to understand that he says in verse 37, says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion," the Lord who did that, "and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." David understood that he didn't have to be big. He didn't have to be strong. He didn't have to have years of battle experience, because he knew the one who did. He knew the one who did. And if you want to be a champion of Christ, you remember what the Lord has done in your life. If you want to be a champion for the Lord, remember what he's done. Remember the times he saved your life. Remember the times he's healed your life. Remember the times he's helped your family member. Remember the time where he's taken you from a place you shouldn't have been and put you where you should have been. Remember what the Lord's done in your life. "Oh, I remember all the things that the Lord has done in my life, and he's done more than I can even remember. When he saved me from sin, when he saved me from death, I was walking down a path. I should have been in jail. I should have been dead. But the Lord picked me up and put me in the spacious place. The Lord picked me up and put me in where I needed to be in life." I remember that every day, because when I'm faced with the battle in life, when I'm faced with the struggle in life, I can go back and say, "The Lord will prevail, because he's done it before." And listen to me, in this church, when funds get low, and they do often get low, we always remember what the Lord has done. Amen, Scott? We always remember what the Lord has done, because if he can do it then, he can do it now. Remember that in your life. Because you're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through struggles in your life. Some of you are going through that right now. Some of you are having a hard time. Has he helped you before? Has he saved you before? Has he rescued you before? I love how he says in verse 37, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. This Philistine's no match. And the world's no match for you as a believer in Christ. Satan is no match for you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Verse 38 says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. He took the staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Saul's hoping that hopefully he can give him everything he needs, but the armor is too big. The armor is not going to protect him. So David goes to the stream and he takes his staff that he always has. He has his pouch he always has, and he picks up some stones and he has a sling in his hand. And he's like, well, Lord, this is all I got. This is how you're going to have to beat him. This is all I can do, Lord. This is what I have. This is what you're going to need to beat them. And this is important to understand, is that David understood something. And I hope this is what we understand, is that the armor of man will never protect you. Saul's armor was never going to protect him from this Philistine. He could have the best armor. He's still a young man versus a 9-foot-tall. No armor is going to protect him. It's not going to happen. And the armor of man is not going to protect you in your life. It is the armor of God that protects us in life. The armor of God that protects us in life. We have to put on the full armor of God. A champion of Christ puts on the full armor of God. They have to. It's the only way to defeat the dark side. It's the only way to defeat Satan. It's the only way to have victory in this world. And I just want to bring this up. It's just a funny thing. He picks up 5 smooth stones. Why did he pick up 5? That's always a question. Why did David pick up 5 stones? Well, there's 2 possibilities. Either he said, maybe it's going to take 5 to knock Goliath down. Or the other possibility. So last week, Jimmy preached a message. Well, what did he preach about? There were 4 descendants of Goliath. 4 giants of Goliath. I'm not saying this is why he picked 5, but it is interesting. So you have Goliath and you have his 4 descendants. Maybe David's like, Lord, here's 1 for Goliath, here's 1 for his brother, here's 1 for, you know. I'm just saying. I think that's an interesting thing. I'm not saying that's what had happened, but David did understand something, is that it's only going to take 1. David understood that he didn't even have to bring a rock if he didn't want to. The Lord is mighty enough to knock the giant down before David even gets there. And hopefully, maybe you've seen that in your own life. God sometimes knocks down the giant before you even get there. He's done that in my life so many times. He's knocked down the giant so many times. The champion of Christ puts on the full armor of God. But there's many believers today not putting on the full armor of God. And what happens when you don't put on the full armor of God? You're unprotected. And we wonder why we fall so often. Maybe it's because we didn't put on the full armor of God. Maybe we weren't protected like we should have been. Verse 41 says, meanwhile, the Philistine and his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you've come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give your carcass, the carcasses of the Philistine army, to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into his hands. David is a champion. David is a champion. I love this passage. I love the verse where he says, Goliath, you'll come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I'll give your carcass to the Philistine army, and to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saved, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into his hands. Listen to me, David understood who was more powerful. He understood that no one could stand up to God. He understood that no one was more powerful than God. And I wish, church, I wish more believers understood that there is no one more powerful than God. I wish we could say the same thing as David, that the world can come at us with sword and spear. The world can come at us with words and insults and mocks and whatever they want to come at. But we come against them in the name of the Lord God Almighty. No one can stand against God. Not Satan, not the demons, not the world, not you and I. We're not going to come against the Lord Almighty. He's too strong. He's too almighty. He's too powerful. There's no one more powerful than the Lord. There's no one more awesome than the Lord. There's no one who cares about your life than the Lord. A champion of Christ knows that there's no match for God. Amen, church? There's no match for God in this life. There's no match for God in your life. When you listen to me, when you stand with the battle, when you're looking at the battle, understand this, because a champion of Christ understands that I will prevail because God will prevail. God will prevail. There's no match for God. A champion of Christ knows that. Verse 48, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran towards the battle line to meet him, reaching into his back, taking out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. It's one thing to talk the talk. It's another thing to walk it. David, at any moment, he could have, when the armor didn't fit, guess it's not going to work out. Somebody else should do it. David could have said, oh, now I'm standing in front of the giant. The giant's right here. There's no way I'm beating him. I'm done. And many Christians do that so often. I'll be powerful. I'll stand for the Lord. I'll be a champion for the Lord. And then we stand in front of the mountain. We stand in front of Goliath. We stand in front of the battle, wherever it might be, and we say, too big. And we walk away. And you just missed out on a blessing. You missed out on a testimony. Jimmy's always talking about how we should have fresh testimonies, new testimonies. And they often sit right there with the Goliath standing in front of you. A champion of Christ has one of the most important things, faith. At any moment, David could have said, maybe the Lord's not big enough. Maybe he's not big enough to defeat this giant. Do I really want to lose my life? David had to take a big leap of faith that just with 5 smooth stones and a sling, God was going to take this giant down. It's one of the most important things a champion of Christ needs to have, and it's faith in God. That God's going to do the thing he says he's going to do. That God's going to prevail against the enemy. That God's going to prevail in your life. We all need a little more faith in our life. We all need a little more faith in our life. We've all had times where we failed in the battle. We weren't successful. We lost because we walked away. We didn't lose because God lost. We didn't lose because God didn't come through. We all need a little more faith to make it through the battles of our life. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle. There's no hesitation. Some of us will walk slow. We'll walk really slow to get to the battle. Lord, maybe you'll say, turn around now. This was a mistake. I've been there. Lord, I don't know. Are you sure this is the right way? At any moment, David could say, I'll walk maybe just a little slower, just hoping that the Lord changes his mind. No, David wasn't like that. David ran quickly. I wish sometimes we would run quickly into the battles of our life. No hesitation, no fear, because we know the Lord's going to win. Because we know the Lord is going to win. To the battle line to meet him, reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, a rock. He slung it, struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down. I don't think I could stand back and chuck a rock as hard as I could at Goliath, and he'd fall down. If you don't see God in the story, you've missed it. If you think David did this all on his own, you missed it. Because I want to read Psalms 27 one more time. Listen to it closely. David is the one that's writing this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When you can start saying that with the giants in your life, when you can start saying that, oh, wow, can you run quickly into the battle? I hope that sits in with us this morning. I hope we understand. So if you want to be a champion for the Lord, you have to pray for strength and courage, because you're not strong enough. You don't have enough courage to beat the giants of your life. If you want to be a champion of Christ, you have to have strength and you have to have courage. This is why that is scattered throughout the Bible. Be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. Have persistence in doing the will of God. Don't stop because someone tries to stop you. If you know the Lord wants you to do something, you do it with everything you have. Be persistent. Don't let anyone tell you any different. Be persistent with whatever the Lord has in your life. Be persistent in prayer. Be persistent in your life. Be persistent in doing the will of God. And remember, a champion of Christ remembers what the Lord has done. So many times, if you read throughout the Old Testament, what is always being brought up? Oh, you're the God who led us out of Egypt. You're the God who split the Red Sea. You're the God who led us through the wilderness. You're the God who gave us the promised land. You're the God of Jacob and Isaac and all those patriarchs. You're that God. You're the same God there as you are now. A champion of Christ remembers what the Lord has done in their life. And a champion of Christ puts not on the armor of man, but puts on the armor of God. A champion of Christ puts on the armor of God in their life. And a champion of God, most importantly, a champion of Christ has faith that God's going to make it through. That God's going to see you through in your life. We lose too often as believers. We're not called to lose because we've already won. Live as if you've already won. Live like you've already won. You've already defeated the biggest giant, not by your own power, because you couldn't do it. But through Jesus Christ, he's defeated the biggest giant in life, death. Oh, death, where is your sting? It's gone. If you're a believer in Christ, the sting of death is gone. We need more champions for the Lord. We need more champions of the Lord. And I just want to remind you, God doesn't need us to stand up for him or defend him. God's powerful enough to do that on his own. But we ought to wear his name like a badge of honor. David did. All when the Israelites are scared, oh, this man, this mighty man, this giant. And David says, who is this man to defy the living God? Wear Christ as a badge of honor. We need more champions for the Lord that are willing to fight the good fight. Willing to fight the good fight in their life. You're not called to watch the battle. Coming here on Sundays and Wednesdays and whenever you come, you're called to be in the battle. Christ has commissioned you to be a champion, to be His champion. Are you His champion? Are you living like you're His champion? Would you pick you for the battle? Those are important questions to ask. Would you pick you for the battle? Many of us aren't living right. God's not going to pick you to be the champion. Your hearts have to be right. Be so willing to make Him right. He's so willing to make our heart right. We're called to fight the battle. So let me ask you, church, are you in the battle? Let's stand.